You know, when it comes to creating momentum in our organizations, we have to do something new. New triggers momentum. As we said, tweaking something old may make us feel like we're being productive, but it doesn't result in momentum. And to sustain momentum, we have to be constantly improving.
As I have observed leadership, and as I have hung with leaders for now over 35 years, I've come to the conclusion that the best leaders are listeners.
And you have to decide, does the congregation exist for service, or does it exist to serve us?
Well, welcome back to Leadership on Purpose. We are talking about how to assimilate people using our Sunday school ministry and how important that is, and this is session two. A quote that I found recently that I really liked from the book High Expectations says, "The higher assimilation churches had strong Sunday school organizations, and that organizational quality did not happen by accident. The quality was the result of hard work, persistence, perseverance, and a willingness to suffer short-term losses for long-term gains." And you might ask, well, what do you mean short-term losses? Well, not everybody's going to be on the same page with this. Some Sunday school teachers may decide that they don't want to be more than just someone who teaches on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to be the leader of the class. They don't want to do ministry things together. And it might be time for that teacher to find something else to do, possibly. Because there are long-term gains when you apply some of those principles and practices that we talked about last time.
How do you get with someone on that without splitting your church, Robbie? I know that's a loaded question already, but you know, without, because some of the folks that are in those positions are your power brokers. Some of them are your you know, Granny Jones, who's been there for 40 years, and she's been in that. I don't know Granny Jones, and she's been in that class for 40 years, and she's been in that position for 40 years. And how do you approach Grandma Jones?
Well, you don't force it down their throat. First, you do everything you can. You work with all these other classes, and success will breed success. Many times when people start seeing how this new class is doing something different and how that's really making a difference in the class's lives as well as reaching the community, people will start to ask that teacher, well, can't we start doing that? And it let the class put the pressure on the person. Success will cause, or the possibility of success will cause changes. But some people will start to get uncomfortable and they just refuse to do it. And more times than not, they'll pull themselves out of that position. But there might be a time if someone's just very negative, the church needs to address that. The Sunday school director, in love, with patience and kindness, needs to address that. Another thing to think about, that Sunday school is neither neglected or accidental in the churches that are closing the back door. Perhaps the key Sunday school issue that separated higher assimilation churches from lower assimilation churches was that of expectations. We should expect a lot from our classes. They expect a lot from the pastors. We should expect a lot from our classes. They're really, in the Baptist church, really the backbone of the church. They should not just be a class that teaches information. You know, Chester, that's the difference between content-oriented and intent-oriented. A Sunday school teacher, and a pastor for that matter, shouldn't be preaching for content, just cramming information to people. My question is, what's your intent? And if you have an idea of what the intent of you teaching is, then you will be pay special attention to how you present it, to make sure that people understand it, and that it will facilitate change in people's life. Knowing the content of the Bible is different from being obedient to the Bible.
Right.
Just teaching content of the Bible doesn't cause change in people's lives. Teaching for change in mind. Final one I've got here is Sunday school will work only if you work Sunday school.
Right.
Sunday school is work. It takes time, and it takes a plan. To say it another way, the grass is greener where you water it. Hmm. Where you don't water it, it's brown, and it's not working well. So it is a process. Now, Chester, there's five quick tips of assimilation that I put down. Tip number one, you can be too aggressive in your follow-up. You know, last time we met on the podcast, we talked about all these things that you can do to assimilate. But I warn our listeners, be careful. Don't be heavy-handed. I know of a man in the church that once a person came to visit one time, they started bugging the person about joining the church.
Yeah.
And I was just glad they were there.
Right.
So be careful. Remember, guests at your church are on a blind date. They don't know what to expect and are often very anxious. So don't ask them to marry your church too fast. That will ruin the courtship.
I like that. That's good.
Have patience. Love on the people. Thank God that they're there and let the Lord lead them to church membership. Tip number two, contact by church members is better than contact by staff. You and I talked about that last month, or last time we had the podcast, that it's much more important for a class member to approach prospects and guests than a staff member. Survey indicates that the impact of a home visit is reduced by approximately 50% when it's made by a church staff member rather than people from a Sunday school class.
So now, in the case of me, all right, staff member who teaches that Sunday school class, it's important to be able, for those of us who are staff and teach, to bring somebody alongside of us who's going to be able to... I don't know if I'm wording this question right, Robbie, but it's a little bit different than, say, a class member who is a church member who is a Sunday school teacher. Do you understand where I'm going with that? So how do you differentiate between the two?
But your point as a teacher in the class, you're the leader of the class, correct?
Right.
So it is your job to make sure that these guests get a touch from your church and get ministered to. So you organize your class to do that ministry. You don't have to do it all. I do think it's important for you as a Sunday school teacher to visit, as I said last time, each person in your class once a year. But get your people in your class doing those touches, ministering. So it means a lot more when it's coming from a non-paid staff person. Now, that doesn't get you off the hook.
Right.
You and other pastors should still visit and touch people's lives, but your job is to make sure it gets done.
Mm-hmm.
So using other people. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Cool. Tip number three, the sooner you make a visit, the more likely they are to return. A survey recently taken in Five Handles for Getting a Grip on Sunday School says, if visited in the home within 36 hours, first-time guests return 85% of the time.
Hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But now, look how it changes. If they visit happens within 72 hours, first-time guests return 60% of the time. You see, we're going the wrong direction.
Right.
And finally, if visited in the home 7 days after the initial visit, only 15% of first-time guests return the next week. You know, I have heard of some churches, they even will do it within 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
They will take a Sunday school class that I know of. They buy these, when you go to the movies, when you get a big tub of popcorn, they buy the tub, of course, without the popcorn. Then they go get microwave popcorn bags, put one or two in that tub. Then they'll put two or four drinks, however many people are in that family.
Mm-hmm.
And they may put a brochure about the church, and they put a letter. Thank you for visiting our Sunday school class today.
Right.
They deliver that, put that on the person's front porch. That is a follow-up. Within 4 hours, that Sunday school class has exploded with guests and new members because of that kind of mindset, taking care of the details.
People like popcorn.
Yeah, they like popcorn, but you know what they like more? People like having friends.
That's right.
And when you become a friend to someone, they remember that forever. Tip number four, think of assimilation in terms of a marathon and not a sprint. Mm-hmm. It is a process. You can't move a person from being a first-time guest to a member in just a matter of hours. It takes time. The average family is now visiting a church or churches for 18 months before committing to join.
Wow.
Now, that's just not the way it used to be. You're right. It's not. But it is a fact now. So taking that into consideration, just be patient. Love on the people, and when they join, they join. But at least they're coming to your church right now. God will lead them. And remember, patience and follow-up are the keys to moving people from being attenders to being members. Patience, yes, but follow-up. You still have a plan. What is your plan? I can't say that enough. Number five. Consecutive visits greatly increase the likelihood of membership. It's true that 10% of all first-time guests will become members. 10%. But 25% of all second-time guests will become members of your church. And here's a cool thing, statistic. 45% of all third-time guests will become members. And this applies that the visits are on consecutive Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. So when they start, so you want to do all you can to get them there the second Sunday, and then making sure you're following up for the third Sunday. Now, why do we do this, Chester? People might ask. You know, are we doing this just so we can try to grow our numbers? Absolutely not. But we are trying to impact our community. I shared last time we met that in our own ministry area of four counties, that there's 51,225 people, but 40,000 of those are in a state of pre-conversion. They're not attending church anywhere. So it's about reaching these people. And I think sometimes we have forgotten that Sunday school or Bible study groups, you call them whatever you want to call them, small groups, have been in the past the backbone of evangelism in our churches. But in many churches, it's become nothing more than sometimes a gossip session. Sometimes it's just a Bible study teaching facts. But we need to look at it differently about reaching our community and helping people with their lives. It's sort of like doing life together. That's what a Sunday school class ought to be.
And it really boils down to a change, and I know that that's a word that is not always the most comfortable word to hear. It's definitely difficult in many ways, but I want to encourage you, if your Sunday school class is made up of the same people, and it's the same people, and it's the same people, and these people have a 20 or 30 year distance between the day they got saved and baptized to today, and you're not seeing any additions to the kingdom as a result of your Sunday school class, how many times are you going to go through the books of the Bible? How many times are you going to read about Noah's Ark? How many times are you going to talk about the differences between Mary and Martha before you realize that it's time to go seek those people that God wants us to lead to Christ? It's about going, and something that I find very, very important, and our former youth and children's pastor made this point on his way out before taking a church in Kentucky. He said in his last sermon to the church, he said, the Great Commission says, go. We typically say, y'all come on and visit us. Y'all come to church. We're having a potluck. Y'all come on. You got to hear this guest preacher that's coming in. Y'all come to revival. But instead, Jesus didn't say, y'all come and then hear about it. He said, go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so if your Sunday school class is y'all come, y'all come, y'all come, you could argue and probably make a very good point on doing so that it's missing the instructions that Christ gave. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have Sunday school. Obviously, for the last two podcasts, we've talked about the importance of it and how assimilation is how it's a great door to assimilating people into the church. But I want to point out, if you're just assimilating people into the church or into classes, like Brother Robbie said, just for the sake of adding numbers to the church building or to the roster, or so you can get some fancy award at the end of the year, at the end of the church year, that's you're missing the point. You okay? That's okay. I'm going to tell everybody you just banged your head against the mic. That's what that was. But you're missing the point, and we don't need to be missing this point, Robbie. Do we need to be? We need to be going and making disciples, and then in our churches, creating a place of love and learning and fellowship, and a place to change lives. And that's what this is all about. If we're not changing lives, we're just kind of existing, and we're almost lukewarm in some ways.
And I think you find out, too, the churches that really have a plan for Sunday school, a plan for assimilation, and they're actually doing the plan, something happens to that class. They start to get more energized as individuals. See, the Lord has created us to make a difference, not just to know more. We know more so we can be more and so we can do more. And so as we are obedient to the Lord in making disciples, as the scripture you just alluded to says, it is an action. Making disciples means there's an action happening. So as we're obedient to following the Lord's command in that, a new power comes over our life, a new peace comes in our life. I'm telling you, obedience to the Lord is better than any antidepressant that you can buy in the drugstore. It's the coolest thing, telling somebody about Jesus. It's the coolest thing to bring in someone who doesn't know Christ to your church because you invited them. Or enrolling someone in Sunday school. Or asking your server at a restaurant, do you have anything that I might be able to pray with you about?
That's right.
In one of our local restaurants, I did that not too long ago, and the server started crying, Chester. And she said this, no one has ever asked if they could pray with me.
Wow.
We got 10,000 Christians in our four counties. And no one's asked this poor lady if they could pray with them. When that happens, when God uses you in a way like that, it changes who you are. And it's a great feeling. So every person can be active in ministry.
Well, you know, to be active, we were just talking off the air before the podcast began about some of the different things going on in our communities. And I was, a month or two ago, met with the Boys and Girls Club, some of the board of directors in Toombs County. And we were discussing some different things with the new building going on. And one of the questions that I asked Brother Robbie was, how much support do you get from your church, from the churches? Now, there's a lot of churches in our association. And specifically, there's a lot of churches, not just Baptist churches, a lot of churches in Toombs County. And the executive director said, not a lot. In fact, I found out from a board member later on, nobody has made a donation from a church. Nobody has donated time to come in and play with the kids and put on some fun day for the kids. If your Sunday school class is serious about this, now there are going to be Sunday school classes, and I did it last couple weeks ago, and I'll do it again. I'll step on a toe here. If there are some Sunday school classes and some teachers who are just content being the way they are, and that's a crying shame. But if you are not that way, and your Sunday school class wants to step it up and make a difference for the kingdom, there's just one example, just one, of how you can go out and do something for someone and share the love of God with them, share Jesus with somebody. And I'm going to tell you something. You go out and you do this stuff. Some of the most fun we've had, Brother Robbie, you and I have been, and I haven't been on any mission trips with you, but I've heard about your trips that you've gone on. But just locally, some of the most fun you and I have been when we used to do Kids Blast right after we got the trailers and we're teaching churches how to do it. Call the association Sunday school classes. Get the trailer for a Saturday. Go to the community. Set up a Kids Blast. If you don't know how to do it, I'll go with you and do it. Brother Robbie will go with you and help you do it. We've done it. We've trained in it. We can help you get there. But don't sit back and say there's nothing for us to do because there's so much we should be doing.
Well said, Chester. Being active in our community with the Word of God, with a positive message, sharing what the Lord has done in our lives. You know, I led a revival service not too long ago, and at the very first service, I asked the congregation to write down the names of five people who didn't know Christ. And they struggled at that, Chester. They struggled coming up with five people that they know that don't know Christ. Now, I'm reminding you, there's 41,000 people who don't know Christ in our four counties. So you would think, how could you not know somebody?
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Many times in our churches, we love our fellowship of our churches. It's just wonderful to be around people we know and that think like us. But we have just sort of buried our head in the sand and sort of let the world do its own thing while we had our holy huddle. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage our Sunday school classes to get out where the lost people are. You know, in the 1800s, when Southern Baptists became the strongest denomination in the world, we went from being the weakest to the strongest in 100 years. And when we were at our strongest in the 1850s is when we started planting new Bible study groups.
Right.
Everywhere. And you know where some of the places they planted them, Chester? Under a tree. They didn't have to have a building. They planted some in the saloons out in the West. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that would raise an eyebrow nowadays if we started a Bible study in a bar. But I'm asking you, why not?
Yeah, really.
I mean, everybody needs to hear the Word of God.
That's right.
And maybe their lives will be changed. Oh, that would be, if you start a Bible study group at a bar, come let me know, because I would love to hear about your story. And I close our podcast today with asking this question. Chester, I ask you, what do you think the greatest tool for assimilation is? You have a thought?
The greatest tool.
Maybe say it this way. The greatest unused tool for assimilation.
What's that?
It's the dining room table.
Hmm.
We years ago, used to invite people to our houses.
Mm-hmm.
And we would cook food and things like that. We don't do that as much anymore.
Right.
The dinner table is the most unused but greatest tool for assimilation. So I encourage you, invite people over to your house. Chester, when Sharon and I were in seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, one of the churches we visited, the teacher leaned over and said, why don't y'all join us for dinner today after church? She and her husband took us to the worship center. They sat with us so we wouldn't be by ourselves. Then they took us home to their home and fed us a meal and had fellowship with us. We talk about that to this day.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody feels comfortable because they may have a lot of animals at their house or, you know, where dogs that might injure someone. But you can have dinner with somebody at a restaurant. Women could take other women out. Women are much better at men than men in building relationships. Mm-hmm. Go out, take the lady of the house out to a restaurant. Ladies, that'll bless that woman and that'll bless you. Have a time of prayer. Get to know one another. Y'all, here's the thing with assimilation. Find a plan. Lord, how would you have us assimilate people into our fellowship? Lord, what would you have us do? And then when he reveals that plan, follow through with it. Make sure every 29 days that you recast that vision to your people. Pastors, you do that. Reminding people how important Sunday school is. Do it on a monthly basis. Remind people how important being part of the church is. That'll help. If you need some more ideas, I have on your worksheet that's on the website, you can see High Expectations from Tom Rainer's another resource. Membership Matters, 10 Practices of Healthy Sunday School. There's several listed there. If you want to give me a call, I can come and meet with your leaders as well and would love to do that. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, loving Him first and loving the community that He died for. to make a difference. Amen. Father, thank you so much for these classes. I pray that you'll touch their lives. Give them a fresh wind. Give them fresh fire. Help them to love the community that you died for, to bring them to saving knowledge. Father, we're not responsible for the people's decision when we present the gospel, but we are responsible, as you tell us in your word, to share of the hope that's within us. Help each of us to be faithful to do that. And as we are, Father, you give us joy. You give us peace. You give us excitement in our lives. Thank you for using us, Lord. We want to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Leadership on Purpose with DBA Director of Missions, Robbie Smith. For more information on this program or any information contained herein, contact the Daniel Baptist Association at 912-583-2713 or email rsmithdba@windstream.net.